Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn how the new science of aging is suggesting that your cells can be reprogrammed to become younger. This is a very important scientific study published in the peer-reviewed journal Cell. Researchers describe a process whereby reprogramming cells to a younger state can reverse the aspects of aging by inducing the expression of four genes known as the Yamanaka factors. Any cell can become a pluripotent stem cell, which, similar to an embryonic stem cell, is capable of dividing without limit and becoming any cell type. Although there are dangers in unchecked cell growth, such as cancer, the potential anti-aging benefits for humans is astounding. In the research, Yamanaka factors were induced for a short period of time in the skin cells of mice with the aging disease progeria. The remarkable results: not only did the mice appear younger, but organ and cardiovascular function improved. They also lived 30% longer than untreated mice and did not develop cancer. Normal older mice were also treated. This group saw improvement in the regeneration capacity of the pancreas and muscles. Quote, "Our study shows that aging may not have to proceed in one single direction," end quote. That was according to Julian Belmonte. Quote, "It has a plasticity, and with careful modulation, aging might be reversed." You think? Well, that's good news. But there's even better news. We have figured out how to do it. I'm going to talk about this at length in just a few moments. In effect, you might want to take some notes. But also today, for the second half of our program, as we do each year, at the end of that period of time, we bring on Gerald Salante to talk about the trends. So we're going to look at what he sees as most likely the outcome for 2021. So Gerald's always interesting, and we just have to determine how much caffeine he's had as to how to modulate his microphone. He tends to get very excitable, but always with wisdom. So Gerald will be on today. And then I'm going to ask our engineers to have Gerald on before the half-hour mark, because I want him to hear a particular audio clip. You can actually watch it if you go to prn.fm. We have a place there we can watch as well as listen to the videos we're playing. This is called The Great Reset Explained in 5 Minutes. We want to thank one of our citizen activists who is also sharing a lot of important information with us. And so we thank Valentina Varsi for her contributions. She's putting a lot of time in every day finding information that is true that the mainstream media will not touch. And in this particular video, which I'm going to deconstruct, not today, I won't have time, but tomorrow in depth, Richard Gale and I are going to show you how virtually the entire environmental movement has been captured by special interest groups, and how watching An Inconvenient Truth, which I enjoyed the film, I thought it was a very well-made film, and that Al Gore's message was accurate. But then I thought afterwards, and I watched it again. Then I watched it a third time. And I said at the time, he intentionally left information out of this that is actually far more important than the information he included. But as a filmmaker, and the most award-winning film in history, a documentary with a new one, which hopefully I'll be able to premiere in theaters in New York in the next month or two, when they open, and that film is called Last Call for Tomorrow. It is the most comprehensive documentary ever produced on the environment, which is one of the reasons I believe it's won nearly 150 international film festivals and some of the most prestigious in the world, or been a finalist, is because it's complete, meaning you take a look at everything, desertification, acidification of the oceans, the destruction of the coral reefs, the amount of meat that we consume or other animal products and byproducts, the pollution of those animal waste, like hog farms, cattle farms, into the aquifer systems, the way that the environment has been adversely affected. It's not just from global warming. What caused that global warming? So it's very complete. Al Gore had a chance to put all that in his film. He didn't. Why? I figured it out. I'm going to share that why tomorrow, and also how that deals with the Great Reset that's coming at you, and it's going to be the word you're going to hear next year in the mainstream media. Oh, how important the Great Reset is. Oh, it's going to take away a lot of our debt. It's not what you're being led. It's a Trojan horse. They have all the right words. They've sugar-coated it. But I'm going to show you what the truth of the Great Reset is. I mean, just use common sense. Do you really think that the people who caused the subprime crisis, which lost trillions of dollars in equity in people's homes in 2008 through about 2014, and they got completely bailed out, they even got more money than what they asked for, all their debts were sanitized, a legal form of money laundering through the Federal Reserve. So all their bad judgments were wiped clean. All new cash put in their bank, more than what they needed to make themselves whole, so they started buying all their competition. Big banks bought smaller banks, became even more monopolistic and more neoliberal. Do you really think that the people who've caused all of our major crises are suddenly going to be benevolent, turn around, and say, we're sorry that we took it all for ourselves, left you nothing? We're going to correct that. You really think they're going to do that? Not at all. They're going to take even more, and you'll be left with less. That I'm going to talk about today, because I'm also going to share a new article I've just written. It's up on prn.fm. Share it with everyone you can. So that's our show today. Remember, you can always go to our archives. Probably 95% of people download the program on the archives when it's convenient for them. One phone call, you can download 5 shows. Our archive number, write it down, please, 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. Or, of course, you can listen live Monday to Friday, noon Eastern Standard Time, and 7 o'clock to the Progressive Commentary Hour. And here is that number to listen live, 774-337-6033, 774-337-6033. Now, something on the aging. We are about to commence what I hope will be the final study. I did 2 3-month studies, a 1 2-week study, and this is going to be a duplication of the 2-week study. And what you will see in the documentary that is being finalized now, that in fact we're finally finished, I think we have 2 doctors next week we're filming, and all of the scientists, all the doctors who monitored this whole process will give their final input. And the top supporter at the scientific level of the protocols has already been filmed and said that it is a breakthrough in anti-aging. It is a game changer. It is the most important anti-aging study that he's ever seen. Mind you, he is the foundation head for all the top anti-aging scientists in the world. So, no small statements. But at its heart, we proved what this article that I said was in Cell Magazine, that you can reprogram cells. We know, for example, that chlorophyll in high doses is contributing to that. Vitamin C at high doses contribute. We know that mindful meditation can contribute, as well as intense exercise contributes. We know that a plant-based, healthy, organic diet contributes. We know that detoxification and cleansing principles contributes. We know that modified fasting, meaning fasting about 15 hours a day, meaning you finish your last meal, let's say dinner, at around 6 o'clock, and you don't eat your next meal until 9 o'clock the next day. So you're allowing about 15 hours. And then modified fast, taking everything liquid form on Saturday and Sundays. That really contributes caloric restrictions to your body's actual needs. We know that de-stressing and controlling the level of cortisol contributes. There are certain specific nutrients that are major. L-carnosine at 1,000, 2,000 milligrams. L-carnitine for your heart and the energy to the heart and the brain at 1,000, 2,000 milligrams. Quercetin at 1,000 to 5,000 milligrams in divided doses. Vitamin C at, let's say, 5,000 to 10,000 milligrams in divided doses buffered. We know that pycnogenol, generally at 100 to 200 milligrams, and also PQQ, which causes new mitochondria to be made and new cells, NAD, and generally PPQ at around 50 milligrams, and NAD at 500 milligrams is terrific, and all of these combine with resveratrol, and those are the most important. Those will all contribute. There are others, coenzyme Q10, etc., but I'm talking about the superstars. So when you put all that together, and the key is together, I will say it again, it is that with a mindset that thinks positive thoughts, does positive things, does not engage in negativity, does not allow themselves for whatever circumstances, both interpersonal and exogenous circumstances, those around us that we cannot control, like the lockdown or the fear of a coronavirus or bankruptcy or all the other problems, but how we perceive it can definitely impact us. So when you take everything together, and that's the key, and you do it the right way with guidance, you're stimulating new cell growth, stem cells. And that is what allows old muscle to become younger. And we proved it, not in a Petri dish. We did it with human beings. And the only study ever done of its kind in a controlled environment where everybody had to do the same thing. And it really dwarfs the other studies like the Framingham study or the nurses or doctors study that's gone on for decades, because there nothing is controlled, nothing. So they'll say, well, over a 10-year period, this amount of people didn't eat meat and therefore there was less breast cancer. So they'll then say, then it's recommended that you eat less meat or no meat or red meats and reduce your risk of breast cancer by X percent. But there's so many mitigating factors that happen in a person's life. And unless you control for all of it, all you're doing is guessing. Your best educated guess. But we don't have to guess anymore. We have a roadmap. And that roadmap leads us to turning off inflammation, repairing damage to our DNA, and then turning on rejuvenation and re-stimulating new stem cells. And that is how we do it. That's just an overview, but it's just working off that one article. So I'm very pleased about that. And by the way, for those who want to join us the last 2 weeks of April for that study, as well as we're doing it not as a study, but just as a come and detoxify and relax and rejoice and laugh and cleanse and juice and vegan foods and meditation, everything else, exercise, beautiful weather, magnificent environment. In fact, Marshall is planting thousands of more flowers, and she's planted thousands. Her and Elizabeth McCormick together, I think, planted over 5,000 rose bushes. So it's just everything's in bloom at that time of year in April. It's just the aromas, the lavender, the lilac, the honeysuckle, the monarch butterflies. So that's for everyone else. So call Luann at 903-881-7008, 903-881-7008. Now, magnesium is one of the most important single minerals that we should have in our body. It's called a macro, meaning you're taking it in large amounts. I generally recommend about 800 to 1,000 milligrams a day. It's great a muscle relaxant. You've got aches and pains, it works. Heavy workout, it works. For your heart, to help correct heart irregularities like tachycardia or AFib, if you take magnesium in high doses with L-carnitine at high doses, cayenne at high doses, vitamin E, and coenzyme Q10 all together, and there's some herbs also that can correct irregular heartbeat. In any case, a study conducted by Medical College of Qingdao University has found an improvement in indicators for insulin resistance in middle-aged individuals who supplement with magnesium and chromium. You don't need a lot of chromium, 200 micrograms a day, and they only use 200 milligrams a day of magnesium. I never go that low. So what it does, it helps the blood fasting level. Why? Because fasting blood glucose, fasting insulin, and insulin resistance index, and T lymphocyte messenger RNA levels of glucose transporter 4, and glycogen synthesis kinase 3B were determined before and after treatment. And once you took this, you had nearly a threefold increase in the GLUT4 was observed among those who received both minerals, which is a good thing. How would I say this in just purely lay language? If you're pre-diabetic or diabetic and you want to maintain proper insulin without insulin resistance, magnesium and chromium can help do that, and it does it well. And also calcium, there was some controversy about, calcium supplements at high doses is bad for your heart. So the journal Annals of Internal Medicine has revealed a new evidence-based guideline from the National Osteoporosis Foundation and the American Society for Preventive Cardiology, which affirms that calcium from supplements or food that doesn't exceed the tolerable upper intake level of 2,500 milligrams per day is safe for the heart. And they looked at 27 studies from Tufts University Medical School to do this, because some people say, don't take calcium, it's bad for your heart. No, it's not. You need calcium. It is an essential mineral, but taken in the right amounts. Now, most people take 400, 600 milligrams a day of calcium. I don't know anyone who would be taking 2,500 milligrams or more of calcium a day. Certainly, that's excessive. But up to that amount, they found it was completely safe, did not adversely affect your heart. So we want people to have the right information. We are 18 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to share a short article with you. And the article is entitled, The U.S. Spiral Towards Bankruptcy. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. We have a really powerful program for tomorrow. It'll deal with the new reset. We have a lot of commentary we're going to be giving you. But now we're going to talk about something that no one is talking about. No one in an official position, not the economists, not the government, not the Treasury or Federal Reserve, not the incoming White House or the outgoing White House, because it would scare people. This week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average reached a remarkable rebound to 30,327. Due to the COVID pandemic, the net wealth of the billionaire class, that's Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, etc., they increased their riches $931 billion. Many on Wall Street and within the large mega corporations believe the economy is not only returning to its pre-COVID growth, but will continue to accelerate well into the new year. However, beyond the prosperity of those in the privileged stratosphere of excessive wealth and celebrity status and power, the rest of us are not rejoicing. For the vast majority, there is little incentive to celebrate. We already know that the nation's reckless reaction to the virus and the ensuing panic has decimated over 200,000 small businesses in the United States alone. Many, if not most, will not return. Corporations are finding it less expensive to allow employees just to work from home. Consequently, many are leaving the major cities. However, as New York City experienced an exodus of 300,000 apartment and owners and renters, most of these vacancies, except for about 70,000, are being rapidly replaced by the younger professional educated class due to the substantial cost reduction, sometimes upwards of 50% reduction in rents, so they can live in the city as the pandemic drags on. For many who have left, it's permanent. They're going to relocate to places like Florida, North Carolina, Texas, and Vermont. For now, these states are less costly and can provide a better quality of life. But there's something seriously missing from this scenario, and the uncertain promise for a celebration ahead when life returns to normal, if we all are mass vaccinated, so we're told. As a nation, the majority of Americans are dead broke. They're bankrupt. And this trend started prior to COVID's arrival. Therefore, it is time to take an honest and sober look at the landscape and realize the United States is not and never has had a single economy. There are multiple economies. I count at least seven. For example, the economies of a Bill Gates is not the same as someone who has $10 million. It's not the same as someone who has $1 million, or someone who is an upper middle class professional, like a professor. They don't make $1 million, but they might have $1 million saved, maybe all told in their investments $1 million. But that's not the same as a working class person, a mechanic, a electrician, plumber, mason. And that their economy is able to provide a certain standard of living, providing they have work. And then that's different than the working poor, who are working one or two jobs and still can't pay all their bills. And that's different from the economy of the poor class. They want to work, they can't find work. Those senior citizens who, because of ageism and discrimination of their age, they just can't find work unless it's at a supermarket where they're bagging, you know, foods for people. Over half of the population is unable to write a check for $500 in the event of an emergency. College students and recent graduates are buried in student loans with compounding interest. Many suffer from food insecurity. 16 million children are estimated to go to bed hungry daily. 54 million Americans are technically in abject poverty, and an additional 100 million tilt towards that threshold. Ergo, what can the future of a post-COVID society promise them? As those who applaud Biden's victory place their hopes in a significant turnaround in their financial status and quality of life, you better stop and take a thoughtful look at the debt crisis before us. At this moment, the United States is sitting on $82 trillion in total debt, which includes the federal, state, and local governments, households, businesses, and financial institutions. Citizens alone are holding $21 trillion, or $63,200 per person. With current GDP, which is gross domestic product, at $21.3 trillion, most are led to believe that the national debt to gross domestic product is minus 144.5%. Not true. That's the official version. They lie. This is only when the gross domestic product is calculated against the $27 trillion of the U.S. national debt, the principal amount marketable and non-marketable securities currently outstanding. Yet when additional U.S. liabilities, meaning your Social Security, Medicare, federal debt held by the public and federal employee and veteran benefits are added to the total debt, we're sitting on, ready, $238.4 trillion in debt, a gross domestic product debt ratio of 1,100%. Let me repeat that. We are sitting on $238.4 trillion in total debt, with a debt to gross domestic product ratio of 1,100%. Now, why is this important? Because comparing that with other nations, the European Union is at 90% debt to gross domestic product. China is at 335%, and one of the world's least indebted nations, Russia, is just under 20%. It's at 19%. It is itself evident that the United States is set for extremely difficult times ahead. During the aftermath of the Great Recession in 2000-2008, economists spoke about the financial basket cases of Greece, Italy, Spain, and other European nations as their national debt to gross domestic product ratio flirted between 100 to 180%. Greece was 180%. Immediately, the transnational elite within the regime and the International Monetary Fund and the global lending institutions, including predatory lenders such as Goldman Sachs, said, this is an opportunity too good to miss. Let's loan them money with severe austerity programs, taking away a lot of their pensions and a lot of their government-sponsored benefits, and charge them 8, 10, 12% interest, knowing that they're not going to be able to pay it, and they're going to keep making profit off their debt. So all that their bailouts did was compound the suffering of those countries. However, at this moment, the United States and its population are collectively looking at a 1,100% debt, not 180% debt of Greece, which was, quote, the financial basket case of the world. In effect, we are the most indebted country in the world. It is a debtor's prison we can never escape. For those who are in the top 30%, that's a little over 110 million Americans, the millionaires and professionals class and the managerial class, life will be fine. For the remainder, there'll be growing economic and emotional pains. Avoiding a collapse into this cavern of debt cannot be prevented if we remain dishonest about its existence. Now we are being told by the World Economic Forum's founder, Klaus Schwab, and those elite around him, who in the words of Samuel Huntington, identify themselves as Davos men, there's a solution to rectify this burden of debt. This remedy is being called the Great Reset. We're being told this new stakeholder strategy to reconfigure the world's economic and social wrongs of shareholder capitalism will benefit large segments of society by relieving the debt burden in order for a global rebirth to emerge. Yet to accept the word and judgment of the very institutions and privileged financiers who created the very conditions for the economic crisis and the social inequalities that have stockpiled during the past 30 years and who now perceive the pandemic as a global opportunity for fundamental change, that would be foolish. Despite the reset's mask of humanitarian rhetoric, its promised utopia is sorely disingenuous. In conclusion, in 2008, in order to, quote, save our economy from imploding or collapsing, Barack Obama gave power to the Federal Reserve and Treasury to first bail out Wall Street to the tune of $800 billion. Later, we would discover a shocking $14.4 trillion additional dollars was given over and above TARP. Virtually all of the culprit banks and firms that contributed to the subprime mortgage debacle were not only made whole, but also provided with the capital with nearly zero interest to buy up their competition. Consequently, the financial regime became even more monolithic and monopolistic. In the process, they leveraged their bad debt and washed it through the Federal Reserve. The money was not shared with employees or invested in new manufacturing or rejuvenating small economies. No, nothing was done with all that $14 trillion that improved the average American's life. So we wait with open-mindedness what these same characters of market neoliberalism will be serving us in the Great Reset. The article, share it with as many people as you can, is called The U.S. Spiral Towards Bankruptcy. We are bankrupt, and no one is willing to acknowledge that, and that will play heavily upon the Great Reset and how easy it'll be to manipulate people based upon what they're promising. Now, before we go to Gerald Salante, who's standing by, I want you to hear this short piece. Now, mind you, they're like Greta Thunberg, who I said, everything that Greta said was correct, but the people manipulating her behind the scenes, the foundations, they wanted the environment to be dealt with unfortunately, these foolish ways of spending a certain amount of money. I'm going to deal with this in depth tomorrow. Carbon offsets and carbon caps, and where a large company that is polluting through their manufacturing pays a certain fee, and to us, and then a smaller company is able to use money, and so the person gets a carbon offset. So you don't stop polluting. You don't change your manufacturing. You're still contributing global warming. But Al Gore and a lot of other people are interested in this, and how many companies do they own, including hedge funds, that we were never told about? And all those people in those audiences, thousands of people, young people, idealistic people, educated people, the movie only showed us they were interested in stopping global warming. They didn't show us the back end. Al Gore's investments in solar. Could it be that the companies that were highlighted, the solar panel companies, were also the ones that his hedge fund controlled and these people were part of? We'll talk about that tomorrow. Now, here's the deal. They're going to say all the right words, but then look at what really is going to happen. Will they change the environment? No. They'll promise tech solutions, not that you should stop eating meat and stop buying genetically engineered foods or stop buying something that was grown in Washington State when you live in Florida and have that carbon footprint to bring it to you. No, the answer to environmental issues is personal change and then collective change. Stop eating meat, stop buying genetically engineered foods, start buying locally grown produce, support local economies, stop buying stuff we don't need, get off the grid, downsize our lives. This is what will save the environment. Planting trees, none of this is in Davos or the big guy's agenda. It's all tech and control. But they'll wrap it in nice themes. Don't be misled. These are not environmentalists. These are capitalists and mercenary and vulture capitalists. Now to this short clip.
Deception. Replacing mum and dad, small businesses and private enterprises with big tech and big business. Democracy and free enterprise go out the window. Totalitarian government control slides in through the back door. Those behind this scheme are adamant that there can be and never will be a return to normal, that life will never again be what it was prior to COVID. That is why they constantly talk about the new normal. The World Economic Forum meets every January in Davos. You will have heard of the expression Davos Man. It refers to all the zillionaires and pop stars and popes and princes and politicians who meet every year to map out our futures. This year's Davos is very, very different to all the previous ones. The World Economic Forum, along with the United Nations, along with the International Monetary Fund, and along with any number of prominent globalist organizations and powerful individuals, including Prince Charles, together have jointly promised that the 2021 World Economic Forum will be used to introduce, via a vast network of connected big tech corporations, online activist movements, and compliant local and national governments, something they call the Great Reset. This isn't some sky after dark fantasy conspiracy theory. It is a global commitment they have made to use the panic and fear generated by the coronavirus as a means to reshape all our economies and laws and move to a new form of capitalism that focuses on net zero emissions. You might think this is a great thing. You might think this is a terrible thing. If implemented successfully, the Great Reset will undeniably and deliberately have extreme and possibly dire repercussions for every single one of your constituents. Already, the Great Reset is being widely advertised on posters and in ads across the UK and Europe, and no doubt will be here before too long. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. is just one of their marketing slogans. The plan involves replacing shareholders of big companies with stakeholders who happen to be left-wing bureaucrats and climate change zealots. Replacing mum and dad, small businesses and private enterprises with big tech and big business. Mrs. Kafup's share portfolio is out. Greta Thunberg's zero emissions are in. Democracy and free enterprise go out the window. Totalitarian government control slides in through the back door. But remember, it's not only a great reset, it's a great deception. Because in order to get everyday people to surrender many of the rights and freedoms we currently take for granted, the repeatedly stated aim of these organizations is to deliberately use COVID as an excuse, to use all the political and authoritarian tools, as Prince Charles puts it, that are currently being used around the world to eradicate the virus, such as lockdowns, exclusion zones, forced closure of businesses, heavy fines, making protesting illegal, and so on. But now to eradicate carbon emissions. Those behind this scheme are adamant that there can be and never will be a return to normal, that life will never again be what it was prior to COVID. That is why they constantly talk about the new normal. This is not me saying this. This is them saying it. The people with the power and the means and the obsessional desire to do it. And they keep telling us again and again precisely what they have in store.
Now is the historical moment, the time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system.
We have a unique but rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable path. It is an opportunity we have never had before and may never have again. So we must use all the levers we have at our disposal, knowing that each and every one of us has a vital role to play.
The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call. It is imperative that we reimagine, rebuild, redesign, reinvigorate, and rebalance our world. Rebalancing investment, harnessing science and technology, and advancing the transition to net zero emissions, all elements of the Great Reset, are fundamental to building the future we need.
And if it's still not clear, the book written by World Economic Forum boss Klaus Schwab himself, setting out precisely how the most powerful forces in the world are lining up to use the COVID-19 crisis as a pretext for introducing a new climate change focused one world economy that will strip away property rights and basic democratic rights. They are not hiding this stuff, they are shouting it from the rooftops. The World Economic Forum boasts on its website that the only acceptable response to the COVID crisis is to pursue a great reset of our economies, our politics, and our societies.
Okay, understand, every time someone says they're going to do something for the environment, they do just the opposite. Barack Obama was going to help clean up the environment with clean coal. Well, did anyone look to see that David Axelrod, who was instrumental in getting him elected, and also Rahm Emanuel, his chief of staff, were both connected with coal industry and the nuclear industry? Clean nuclear. It wouldn't pollute, but it does pollute. So we're being lied to. There's a right way to correct what's wrong with the world, and for those of us who are on the ground and writing and producing and doing broadcasts on this, we do more radio programs on the environment than any other radio program in American history. We've told you about everything happening, and then as it's happening, we've written books on it, films on it, and yet not once are any of us, true environmentalists, ever invited to share our thoughts or our suggestions with any of these groups. This is all about power and money. They'll just disguise it to make it more benevolent. On the line right now, sharing his views on all of this, is Gerald Salante. Gerald does a program on PRN and precedes mine every Wednesday. Gerald, of course, for those of you who don't know him, is one of today's pioneers in trend strategy and identifying the developments of change occurring in our world. He founded Trends Research Institute up in Kingston and is the publisher of one of the finest journals, Trends Journal. I highly recommend it. It's been around since 1980. Gerald has since become one of the nation's most important diagnosticians and forecasters. So tune into his program, Trends This Week, heard every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nice to have you with us today, Gerald.
Well, thanks for having me, Gary.
Gerald, let's take us through, and I'm just going to let you expound on this. Take us through why at the Dow at 30,360, whatever it is today, that's not necessarily good for everyone. And tell us who it works for and who it doesn't work for. Tell us about the fact that, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the article I just did on that we're bankrupt, the fact that we're not only not forgiving debt that we could and should, as we did with corporate predators, but not innocent bystanders. We're not helping them. But what's going to happen when people are so indebted as they are now that they can't buy food, they will commit suicide, they go to drugs, and we're dealing with none of the underlying primal causes, and Joe Biden, his entire administration, is a neoliberal war hawk cabinet, and they're not friendly to people who have debt. They are friendly with credit card companies that charge usurious rates and payday loans, so nothing is going to bode well for the average citizen that I can see. None of the 50 important progressive principles are going to be enacted. You're not going to get rid of the Glass-Steagall Act. You're not going to repeal Citizens United. You're not going to take money out of campaign financing. You're not going to stop all adventures around the world from our CIA and military-industrial complex. You're not going to hold any of the major corporations accountable. And you're not going to censor. You're not going to stop the censoring by big tech platforms of the truth, yours or anyone else's. So how are we supposed to understand what's going to happen and how it's going to impact us? The forum is yours. Take your time.
I have to tell you, I've been doing this since 1980. I've never been sadder in my life in looking at the future. I'm heartbroken. In 2020, the whole world changed in front of us. And without going into the details, because you do it all the time and the people that listen know the facts, this COVID war that has been launched against us, it makes no sense at all without going into, you know, the 94% of the people at 2.6 pre-existing chronic conditions, and the recovery rate's 99.8%. They've sucked the joy out of life. All the businesses have been destroyed. We're working all your life to build a restaurant, a bar, a shop. Gone, dead, lost. But it's okay for Amazon. Hey, that's fine. It's okay for Walmart and Costco and Target. That's it. That's all right. I'm your governor. I'm your president. I'm your prime minister. I'm your chancellor. I will tell you what to do, and you will behave. Get back in your house. Don't go out. I'm in charge. And the same way they hailed Hitler, marched to Mussolini, and saluted Stalin, they're doing the same exact thing. People all masked up and in fear. And again, little kids freaked out, like they had us hiding under desks when we were kids in case an atom bomb went off, like that was going to make any difference. The same stupid garbage they're dumping on us now. You mentioned the Glass-Steagall Act. Oh, yeah, Bill Clinton. Oh, you lovely liberals love that murderer. Yeah, I smoked, but I didn't inhale Clinton. Yeah, sex isn't, you know, and I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica. Oh, yeah, that guy who gave us the Glass-Steagall Act. Do you know that the banks have shrunk now nearly 50% since the Glass-Steagall Act and the bigs got bigger? The bigs are in total charge. The markets, oh, it makes perfect sense that the equity markets are flying high, hitting new records, as the whole global economy is going down. And you nailed it with the Great Reset. It's not fact. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's in front of everybody's eyes. And the people are all marching to the orders. No protests are allowed. You're not allowed to do it. Of course, I had one, the 4th of July rally up here. Oh, and what I got for that. Oh, the hate I got. Oh, and by the way, we all died. We all died from the virus. This is not Gerald Celente. You go look, the Federal Reserve, what Federal Reserve? It's a criminal organization. Why are the banks going? Why are the stock markets going up? Let's go back to 2019. Yeah, let's go back to ancient history. Go back to September. They dumped in from September to January 2020, from September 2019 to January 2020, they dumped in $7 trillion into the repo markets. Oh, what's the repo market? Oh, nobody's heard of a repo market. Oh, that's where the gamblers get money to go gamble in the markets. And they're losing money. They need money. So we're going to dump money in there. Oh, and we're going to lower interest rates to 0% so they could borrow money and gamble for nothing. 88% of all the equities are owned by 10% of the population. 1%. The Buffetts, the Gates, the Bezos, the 1% own 52% of all the equities. We got to keep those markets going higher. We have to get them going higher. These are money junkies. All they want is more money. And that's all they're doing. They have destroyed the lives. This is unprecedented in history. You go out, the streets are dead at night. People are afraid to go out. You're under my control, and I've had it with these little boys and girls. How could anybody with a brain bigger than a pea look up to a Andy Cuomo, a little daddy's boy born on third base and thought he had home run, a nobody with an arrogant attitude, but you listen to him. Santa's going to be good to me this year for all I did. And this guy's the number one guy in America after Biden. Oh, we only have the death rate here. What? It's only the highest than many other countries in New York. And why are people dying from the virus? Again, obesity, type 2 diabetics, on and on. They have destroyed life like we've never seen before. I'm going to make this really clear to everybody. Unless you unite for freedom, peace, and justice, all aboard, next train to Auschwitz. You better support PRN. You better do what the people that are doing to tell you to do to get in good health, physically, mentally, and spiritually, so that you could become a fighter. And fighting is dead in this country, as well in many others. My Italian friends in Italy, you can't go visit your relatives that are maybe 30 miles away from you. You will not go out without a pass, and all the gendarmes, the military around the street checking you to see where you're going, when you're getting back, and what you're buying and where you're going. And it's like that going around the world. And as you said it, everything will be fine when the drug lords, the gang, they're a gang, the drug gang vaccinate you. Then it'll be okay for a while, but you're still under our control. That's what's going on. It's a murderous racket in front of our eyes that have destroyed the lives of hundreds of millions of people around the world and probably the same amount of businesses and more people than that. Oh, and by the way, hey, aren't those crime rates that are going up great? Can't figure it out. Don't understand it. Yeah, again, we said this would happen back in March in the magazine. When people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And they're losing everything.
Do you believe that there will be any pushback by the citizens most likely to suffer?
It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams. Gary, I am heartbroken. I will put my trend forecasting record up against anybody in the world. You show me your books, show me your magazine, and then we can start talking. I see the future. And the future is hell on earth. Look what they're doing to little kids. I see them walking down the street, little kids with masks on. Grow the hell up. They're not getting infected by this. They're not passing it on to anybody. The data is all there. It's there for anyone that wants it. I don't care what the data says. I believe my governor. I believe. I do not think for myself. If people don't unite, and that's what I'm saying to them to do, you better unite with PRN. You better unite with people like myself and others that we want. All we want is freedom, peace, and justice. What happened to this country that we got these little freaks telling us what to do? As I say, hey, little Andy Cuomo, you come over here and try to put a mask on me. You come over here and try to vaccinate me. No, no, no. Send your little COVID cops away. Do it man to man. And that's what every... Look, if who's coming up with this crap? Oh, we have a herd immunity rate at blah, 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 blah percent. Let me get this straight. If you're vaccinated, then you're safe. Why do I have to get vaccinated? If you're wearing a mask, you're safe. Why do I have to wear a mask? I'll tell you why. Because we're in control and you'll do everything we tell you. Now get under that desk when the air raid siren goes off, because when that atom bomb goes off, you'll be safe under that desk. Do what I tell you.
Well, clearly, you're seeing things from a perspective that the mainstream media, the government agencies, none of whom, by the way, have lost their paychecks or their pensions or their livelihood, and they seem to be very good at giving orders, not always in taking them, as we've seen, the contradictions. Take a look at a few places and tell me what you believe the outcome is going to be, because we have a reverse dynamic. It became so expensive to live in Silicon Valley, including in San Francisco, that you could pay $3,000 to $4,000 for a one-bedroom apartment to rent. The average person could never afford that. So you stall all of the working-class people have to move way up, and as much as an hour, hour and a half out of San Francisco, but drive in every day or commute in order to work in the San Francisco area. I know because every time I go to California, especially in Northern California, I go to San Francisco and I talk with the drivers who said they used to live in San Francisco. They can't afford to. One has to live almost an hour and a half away. That's 3 hours of commuting a day. But now you have enormous amounts of homelessness. They have done nothing to help these people. You have enormous amount of crimes that are not violent crimes, but they're crimes against business owners. They go into a store, they take a shopping cart with them, they fill it up with whatever they want and go right out of the store. And if the store owner as much as touches them or blocks their exit, the store owner can be arrested. And then the person go right outside the store and defecate right in front of the store to show contempt. Nothing will be done. No cops will come. Now that's the new norm. Now, we filmed for a new film. In fact, remember I filmed you last year up in Kingston for the new Brother, Can You Spare a Dime, a sequel to Poverty, Inc. And in that, I filmed how many blocks you could drive in Los Angeles and see nothing but 10 after 10 after, right in mainstream downtown. And it went from like 58 blocks to somewhere around 100 blocks and is increasing. What do you see happening to San Francisco and Los Angeles and New York City in the next 2 years?
That's just what we said would happen back in March when they locked up. The commercial real estate's dead. What office occupancy rates in New York City, what, 15%? No, this whole thing's going down big time. And if people are moving out, the prices are going up. Kingston, where I am, Bloomberg did a study that they went up here the highest of all of America, 18.1%. But the biggest story is this, and you were talking about it before, couple of things. China, the 20th century was the American century. The 21st century is the Chinese century. The business of America's war, the business of China's business. They're taking over everything. We've even when the Chinese way. We used to make fun of them for wearing those masks. Oh, and of course, the reason they wear them is because of air pollution. Oh, and by the way, this study just came out of India. Only 1.67 million people died in 2019 of air pollution. But you got to watch out for that COVID. You better get under, you better watch out for that. Only 1.5 million died from air pollution in China. Number two, another thing you were talking about, very big. Janet Yellen is now going to be the Treasury Secretary under Biden. Janet Yellen, wasn't she the head of the Federal Reserve? You got it. The banks are controlling our life. The banksters. The same one. We weren't allowed to celebrate the holiday for the Prince of Peace called Christmas. You couldn't, no singing, no carols. But wasn't that the guy that drove the money changers out of the temple? Yeah, and then he put on a cross a couple of days later. Yeah, that one. All right? That's who's in charge. San Francisco, New York City, crime rates going to keep continuing to go up. Businesses going bankrupt. This is not coming back. It's not coming back for a long time. Without tourism, you have nothingism. You're down the city. What? Midtown is dead town. No neon lights shining on Broadway. You got to close your restaurant. But you can go into Costco, Walmart. You could do any, and you could work like a slave in Slavelandia in Amazon, but close your restaurant down. No, it's not coming back. And again, violence, crime is going to escalate dramatically.
Well, thank you for such a wonderful picture, Gerald.
Look, people better fight. People better fight.
I understand. I agree. People are going to have to stand up or they're going to be crushed down. And I'm in full accord with you on that, Gerald. It's just I come from a little different octave range than you do.
Yeah, well, I'm a Napolitano from the Bronx, different vibe.
Gerald, I look forward to seeing you in person when I come back up to New York, and thank you very much for your insights. It's one of those pills that is bitter, but we need it. We need this truth so we can move out of these cities, stop being on their grid, stop paying attention to their rules, and stop complying. We need to be non-compliant. We need to challenge them. And a lot of orthodox doctors and scientists are doing just that. I've never seen in my lifetime tens of thousands of highly respected mainstream doctors and scientists fighting the mainstream Anthony Fauci scientists and doctors. So we have really got a great ally, at least on the science being corrupted. They're still pro-vaccine, and in all other areas, I have no idea what their views are, their politics or anything else. But boy, they're fighting back on what they know are lies, and that's what we keep hitting them with. I appreciate you being on. Thanks a lot, Gerald. Gerald Salante. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen. By the way, just in the next 2 minutes, we have a. I was asked today by my staff in New York City, could we have an end of the year special for people who are struggling, want their health to improve, and want to get all their fruits and vegetables in a good way and other things. And I said, yes. So they put together a phenomenal three specials, three different ones. You can select from the three. I'm going to give you a number to call, but one of the most important ones, the Anti-Aging Elixir Essential Box. It's a powerful and potent anti-aging elixir, almost 34 ounces. And you're getting Power Aging DVD, you're getting a bar of organic mint dark chocolate, you're getting a serving of nitric cell stuff, a serving of superfood breakfast, and it's only $59.99. You're saving $62 on this. Let me just give you a quick example of what's in this drink. This is my most important anti-aging drink. It's got my own proprietary blend of organic apple, organic mangosteen, organic tart cherry, organic pomegranate, organic acai, organic mango, organic Nepal, organic noni, organic turmeric, organic ginger, organic sea buckthorn, ascorbic acid, organic papaya, pectin, guar, mangosteen, lychee, beetroot, aloe vera, wolfberry, which is goji, elderberry, that's important, very important, elderberry, cranberry, blueberry, cacao dew, plum, moringa, baobab, and macaque, and with a graviole, an organic stevia. Nothing like it. Now, by the way, when you get it, you have to shake it up before you use it because it's not homogenized. You have to keep it refrigerated, and it just gives you all of those wonderful organic fruits with every drink. So that's something you can do that's very important. So call and get the other specials. Diane and Sandy will give those to you. And I'm going to give you a number to call so you can get them. And you have your choice of any of those three and tremendous savings. Call 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. And the proceeds go to fund this radio station, 903-881-7008. Or if you buy from Neil direct, call Neil in our vitamin closet at 646-926-5430, 646-926-5430. Thank you all for listening and have a nice day.